talk about feast or famine with the Toronto Blue Jays. 14-1. Kevin Barker, 14-1 they beat the Yankees last night. The four-game series wraps up tonight. Danny Jansen, the offensive star of the game. And I'll just ask you, is he hearing footsteps from Alejandro Kirk?
Nope.
Okay.
You wanted further analysis? No. He made an adjustment.
All right. What was his adjustment?
His feet are closer together, using his legs a little bit better, allows his hands to be a little bit freer. You see the ball at the bat yesterday. It looked like it was buggy whipped, like it was quicker through the zone. You know, that helps. You want to play more, you make adjustments quicker. He's starting to make one. There you go. That's it. Well, so, I mean, it's really that simple. And he has a little bit of confidence facing Tanaka.
Mm-hmm.
He's had success before.
He has had success against him. Why did that be?
I don't think he throws tremendously hard. He throws a lot of split fingers, which, you know, bat speed and bat plane and all those things, that adds up to Danny Jansen having some success off that. It's when you're struggling, you have to make adjustments. And, you know, he's starting to make a little bit of one. Let's see you do it back-to-back days. That's when we start talking.
Well, yeah.
We're having conversations then.
The Jays can clinch tonight against the Yankees. They've got their ace on the mound, Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah.
And I guess this is when you brought Hyunjin Ryu in. You bring him in to clinch. Pitch a clinch game.
What?
We all thought they'd be clinching.
We did?
No. The postseason began today. It would be Rays and Jays, A's and Indians, Twins in Houston, White Sox and Yankees.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, jeez.
That's a good one.
Good luck calling that one. The Minnesota, the only team,
Sorry.
Who's that? It's
an email.
Okay.
It's Danny saying he didn't, no, not hearing footsteps.
I noticed that you didn't call him my boy today, as you usually do.
Yeah, only when he's bad.
Only people on Twitter. For some reason, he's become my boy. Just because I think he's a good dude.
He's a very nice guy. He's very easy to root for.
And, yeah, I want him to do well. I admit.
Yeah.
I don't want him to do well. I want him to do real well.
I want everybody to do well.
There's some I don't care about. There's nobody I want to do badly. Here's the thing when you cover a team.
Now, your boy, Derek Fisher. Now, that's true.
No.
He is your boy.
No. I don't want him to do badly. There's nobody that I want to see embarrass themselves or do badly in baseball. I don't.
Baseball's hard.
There's nobody. In most sports, I just don't. Buck Showalter, okay. Yes, you're right. Thank you.
He's not a player.
He's not a player. There's nobody I want to see do badly. They're just different degrees to which I want to see folks have success. That's all. And I think that's fine. I think that's fair.
There's never been one player that you've tried to interview that blew you off and
all the time
gave you the middle finger.
Tim Raines,
he came up and got out, you were like,
Tim Raines didn't talk to me for about 3 years because of something I'd written in Montreal, but I understood it and it was fine and it was civil. Mm. And it was, we just agreed to disagree on something that I'd written. And yeah, he's really the only guy I had like a long running thing with.
Huh.
You know.
Like he would go the other way when you were coming?
Oh, he just told I he would not do interviews if I was in the media pack. So I just said, okay, fine. I mean, I'm not going to, doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to spoil everybody else. So that went on for about 3 years, I guess.
Mm.
And it was fine. The idea that because a guy doesn't talk to you, that it impacts your work, it's not. I get the last word, dude. If you don't talk to me, I get the last word.
Marcus Stroman,
yeah.
He went the other way when you were coming?
Yeah, he went the other way.
Hmm.
But he just didn't. He didn't like me, and that's fine. I didn't care. Like, literally, I did not care. It was good fun. Anyhow.
You know, I don't think...
So I'm cheering for Danny. Yeah, I'm cheering for... I'm cheering for Danny Jansen. Absolutely. I want Danny Jansen to have a great career. I admit it. I want him to be around for 15 years. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like the idea that you can't do a show or you can't comment or be a pundit and not cheer for guys is stupid. Mm. I hope the cheer for the Raptors. Love watching the Raptors. I don't mind. Always cheer for the, Blackhawks and hockey.
It's easier to cheer for people when they make adjustments quicker.
I just like the fact that, you know, the type of guy Danny Jansen is. And and you know what his teammates and what folks in the organization think about.
Yeah,
that's
but
awesome.
It's the big leagues.
So it is. But yeah, I feel,
you gotta put up.
As I've said, I feel very good when Danny Jansen has a good game. I feel like crap when he's not having a good game. I just do.
I saw Kratzy pitch for the New York Yankees on the road.
Yeah, I love that.
That's the worst look in baseball.
No, it isn't.
It is not even close.
No, please tell me, what are they going to do? Go for the mercy? Don't tell me you want a mercy rule.
Just don't pitch that inning.
Why do people who cover baseball want less baseball?
You have 16 pitchers in the bullpen. Throw one of them.
You ever notice that?
Like you have an expanded roster. Throw one of them.
You know,
I'm sorry. That should be outlawed.
Have you ever noticed that?
That Kratzy has to go on a mound at 40 years old and throw knuckleballs.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah, he does, because the manager walked up and said, "You're going." And he has to, yes. This is why they're in the he's in the big leagues, because he's a team guy. Anyway, it's just an atrocious look. It's the New York Yankees.
Everybody does it.
It's the New York Yankees.
It doesn't matter. Everybody does it.
It does matter.
The Yankees have done that in the past. Don't make it sound like it's the first time they've done it.
This should never happen again. They should outlaw that in baseball.
Oh, that's
especially with the expanded rosters.
That is silly.
When you have so many arms in the bullpen, throw one of them. You should have to throw one of them and use
rubbish.
It because you're getting your butt kicked. Well, that should carry over to the next day.
Rubbish. 590-590 is a text line. Okay, we'll throw We'll throw it out in the text line. We'll throw it out in the text line. Should baseball?
Do you really want to watch Kratzy?
No. We're talking
about the last inning of a baseball game. Yeah, let's ask that question.
I'm going to ask this question. Would you like a mercy rule?
That's never happening. Uh-huh. You're a pitcher. Throw. You are a position player. Play a position. It's simple. That's not a question. Mercy rule is baseball.
Have you ever pitched in a game?
Yeah, in the minor leagues, and a guy bunted off me, and I wanted to choke slam him. Yeah. That's with the bases loaded.
He bunted off you?
Bunted off me.
He must have hated you.
I forgot his name, and it wasn't even a good bunt. It was close to me. I didn't run after it because I was yelling at him so much. I wanted to throw my glove at him. It was a triple-A game. Bases are loaded, and I'm throwing. And he bunts off me.
All right. So 590-590 is the text line. I'm endeavoring to get this question out, but Barker is
Ray Almeida was it. That's Travis McKenzie. Told me who it was because we've had this conversation before.
Ray Almeida? He was with the Blue Jays for a while.
Yeah. I wanted to choke slam him. Oh. Because he bunted off me.
Should baseball put a rule in that says...
To never be able to do that again. Yes.
Let me get it out. Should baseball put a rule into effect that prevents position players from pitching? 590-590 is a text line.
So this is the worst text we've ever sent out. It is.
What?
It is the worst one. Because it's an obvious answer. If anybody can make an argument for that, doesn't watch when they throw. There's no fun. You get nothing from that. Baseball players are in the entertainment business. That is not entertaining.
Oh.
Kratzy on the mound throwing the 64-mile-an-hour knuckleball. Come on.
Did he get anybody out?
Danny Jansen hit a homer off him. Your boy.
My boy.
Anyway, that's my mini rant for Thursday. That wasn't a good rant, but.
14-1, my friend. That's pretty impressive. Where'd that come from? I mean, we talked about this team not being able to handle velocity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know that Tanaka's game isn't velocity as much as it is location. And
yeah, I think it's more down. Has to do with Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray had 4 walks.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday in
4 innings.
Yeah. If he could cut those in half, he had five strikeouts. I think if he cut those in half with his stuff, he adds 2 more strikeouts to his 5. That's 7 and 2 walks in 4 innings. You're talking. Like his stuff is off the charts.
It really
It
really is.
It really, really, really good right-handed hitters look out there like they're confused. And he's left-handed. The fastball just must move so much. He has two sliders. The slow get me over, which he pitched backwards. There's Petey again. He pitched backwards to get the, we were talking about that. What's he going to look like with non-competitive fastballs? What's he going to do now? Well, he, right out the gate, flipping it early, and now he's grunting hard as he can. So he got ahead with something, just, you know, I'm going to get the feel. It's coming off my fingers right. I get my wind up. I can get over the mound. You know, I'm getting it out of the glove quick enough, all these things. I'm driving down the hill, all this stuff. I got the feel. Now I get ahead with that. Now I aim right down the middle. It moves all over the place. It's 95 miles an hour. Boy, how about a whole year of that with Petey? Well, I mean, I don't know what – depends on what it would cost you, but you can already see, right? He made the huge adjustments just by setting up right down the middle. Like, that's, you know, it doesn't sound like a big adjustment, but it's a huge one for a guy that has issues throwing strikes.
It makes me wonder what would happen if the Jays had more runway with Robbie Ray this year. In other words, if this was a regular season and they had more runway with him.
Yeah.
You know, if you had him for 2 months, right, instead of a month. It makes me wonder what we would see. Because you're right. I mean, the stuff is crazy. It's crazy good.
The slider. When he's changing speeds again with something slow, little wrinkle in it. Because everybody's looking for the grunting.
Who have we seen?
They're grunting as hard as you can. And then he flips that thing and they're grunting. It's 0-1. Now what do you look for?
Stuff wise, is there somebody they've had since we've been doing this show that stands out like that? Like I thought
Liriano was a little bit of that. I played it with him in winter ball. He was nasty.
Sanchez had good stuff, too.
Alou used to always tell me he's one of the nastiest lefties he's ever seen. But he's a little bit like Robbie Ray. Consistently throwing strike one was an issue, and non-competitive pitches. But stuff-wise, it may really make you think about what, you know, if you want him in the rotation next year with a Nate Pearson and a, I'm not saying Nate Pearson's going to start the year next year in the rotation, but, you know, middle of the year, you add him and Nate Pearson and Ryu. What are you talking?
Very quietly, Kevin Barker, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is in position to be a 300 hitter. He's hitting 298 right now. Hernandez is hitting 302. Bo is 306. Gurriel's got an OPS of 851. He's really when we talk about the regular season, not knowing what the playoffs are going to hold. Am I safe in saying that we both agree that Teoscar Hernandez and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. have answered any questions we've had of them? In other words,
defensively,
both,
or offensively,
both. In other words, next year, if I said to you, Kevin Barker, next year we are going to start the year with Hernandez, Grichuk, and Gurriel as our outfield.
I think that's the least of their worries. Starting pitching, middle of the order bat, and a catcher. That's me.
But in the middle of the order bat, where's that? That's probably going to have to be an outfielder or a DH.
Yeah. You got to get an older guy. Somebody that's not going to cost you a ton of money.
But my point is, have Gurriel Jr. and Teoscar Hernandez answered whatever questions?
Yeah, I think so. Look, are they great defensive players? No, they give effort. You know, Teoscar Hernandez, you know, looks like he's more comfortable because he's hitting better. How's that working? You know, the one feeds off the other. It does. I tried it once. When you're hitting well, because you're supposed to hit well, you know, defensively you're happier out there. You're going to run after balls a little bit better. You're going to cut your angles a little bit better because you're 2-for-3 instead of 0-for-3. It's the way it is. So, yeah, I like you. Listen, I still will say this. If Teoscar Hernandez hit 30 home runs every year, I don't really care how he plays the outfield. Occasionally, he's still going to boot a ball in the outfield. But if he's hitting 30 home runs, we had the same conversation about Vladdy playing first.
Yeah.
If Vladdy's hitting 30 home runs, do you really care if he doesn't stretch after a ball every time at first?
Nope.
I mean, either.
Let's give you a brief rundown. Jeff Passan will join us at 2:25. Give you a brief rundown. We already talked about the American League matchups in the postseason. Congratulations, by the way, to the Rays. Rays up. American League East champions.
They got about everything you want. You know, they don't hurt themselves, which is the key. They have three really good starting pitchers. They have a
17 games over.
They catch balls they should catch. That's, you know, when you have a team that doesn't beat themselves with pitching.
I still
go Rays, go.
There it is.
Rays up.
What if they get beat by the Jays in the first round? Well, what are we going to play then?
Not then. I'm going to predict that the Jays are going to beat them anyhow in the first round, just so I can cover my ass.
Ratings.
We mentioned
he found his Jimmy John.
Jesus.
What?
I already mentioned Oakland and Cleveland, Houston and Minnehaha, Yankees and the White Sox. Boy, that'll be a good series. In the National League, Cincinnati and the Dodgers in the first round so far. Dodgers going down.
Who
might even be two straight. If they play Cincinnati, they're going down to two straight.
Yeah, since he's got to prove it to me when it matters.
Done. They're toast.
Trevor Bauer, you know.
Giants are in seventh. I don't know how the hell that happened, but the Giants are in seventh. They'll take on Atlanta. Well, if the playoffs started today. Miami and Chicago would be the 3-6 matchup, and then San Diego and the Cardinals would be the 4-5 matchup. And there's going to be some moving around in the National League still. There's still a chance that we're going to see a couple of teams fall out and a couple of teams –
yeah.
A couple of teams move up. I mean, the LA's done. The Cubs, I guess they could probably sneak ahead. But, I mean, the Braves have already won that division, or they've already won the American League East. So the team I would keep an eye on, frankly, just looking elsewhere, the team I would keep an eye on is the Phillies. They've kind of, what is that?
That's my phone. Yeah. Sorry. I tried to turn it down. I don't know how.
But the Reds, I'm telling you, man. Reds are going to take out the Dodgers. Yeah. Reds are going to take out the Dodgers.
You know, last night was the three RBIs that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got.
Yep.
He has 100 in his career.
And how many games?
That's his 179th game, tying Eric Hinsky for the fifth fewest games to 100 career RBIs by Blue Jay. All that stuff we talk about Vladdy.
So take it back. Are you going to apologize to him?
Is that a surprising number?
No,
I just read to you.
Are you going to apologize?
He has 100 RBIs already?
Are you going to apologize to him?
No, not until he hits a heater.
Okay. Is it surprising? Yeah.
When I read that, that's surprising to me.
Yeah, it is. And I think part of that is because, I mean, fifth.
It's been a lot of Blue Jays hitters.
I love Eric Hinsky. Eric Hinsky was one of my favorite Jays to cover. But really? I'm hoping at some point in his Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s career, we're comparing him to somebody other than Eric Hinsky.
We're not comparing him.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, what I'm saying is.
It's the number. The 100 RBIs is a little surprising when I read that.
Yeah,
you know,
that did surprise me. And how many games, sir?
179th game.
That surprises me because there really has. Well, first of all, he hasn't, last year the lineup wasn't that good in general. But we just haven't. I think I'm safe in saying we haven't seen, on a consistent basis, the type of Vladdy we expected in the minors. But that's okay. I mean, that's 100 RBIs and whatever, 179 games is fine. That surprised me.
You don't seem as excited about that as I was when I read that.
What's his career bat? What's his batting average? I guess I could find out, couldn't I?
I didn't look that up. It's not in the stat sheet.
I guess I could find that out. I guess my expectations
for
him.
Don't look at batting average. Look at batting average with runners on base. Look at batting average with runners in scoring position. Look at slugging percentage. Even with him, it would matter pitches per plate appearance, those kind of things. Don't look at average because, you know, that's sort of inflated and you know, it is what it is. But, you know, you dig into it a little bit more, you're seeing – you know, me, he just has, you watch him. If he can just eliminate a little bit of the hand movement, he's starting where he starts, which he's calmed it down because he's, you know, he started it all laying on his shoulder now, and now he goes when the pitcher goes, which is takes away a little bit of the tension, which is a huge deal. Because, again, talk about buggy whipping. You want to be able to feel the barrel and be able to, last minute, I'm going to whack, throw it at the baseball. Well, you can't do it if you're very stationary and statuesque.
Okay, you want to know his runners in scoring position.
Career.
274. With runners in scoring position. Six homers, 73.
Yeah, see, that's not too bad with no protection.
OPS 764. for?
What's he against lefties? That's another one.
You know, with runners in scoring position.
No, well, against lefties, which that's not a good one. That's numbers going to scare you.
Versus left-handed pitching.
Yep.
210.
Yeah, see, it's when you're a right-handed middle order bat and you're expected to carry a team offensively. Again, I've said this before, it's got to be like Christmas morning opening in packages.
There he is.
He's lefty fighting for a bats. He's in the bat rack.
He's 287 against righties. His OPS against lefties is.
You want to know why that is?
123 points.
Give
less.
Me your great analysis on why you think that is. I'll tell you. It's hand movement.
Hand movement.
Up and in.
We talked
down and
about
away
this.
With change-ups. It's
we,
easy.
We like talked
it's,
about it's, it. I have to admit,
it's an easy thing to look at and watch him. It's a hand movement. Like you know, the old ones, Barry Bonds has the little toe tap thing he does. But you know what he did? He didn't stop it. He would go with it. Start. It's like that stop. When he does his little lower half thing and he starts it and stops his foot. Now I got to get it, the momentum generated again. It's impossible. Like it's just impossible to do all those things and match up the hand thing he does where it's up high. He drops it down. He goes back up high again. It's just there's so much in there that up and in, down and away, up and in, down and away. You see all them balls he rolls over, jams himself to the shortstop or the third baseman? Up and in. It's because I really do think it's only because of the hand thing. If he could just, I started here, I swing it from here. It's, you know, whatever I think, which doesn't really matter a whole lot, but I tried everything. I tried to stand on my head when I played because I wanted to get the big leagues. I tried.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Nope. But it's the only thing I could figure out. You see Kevin Biggio as an example. We'll stand there stationary basically and roll his hands really quick in a circle until the pitcher starts to go and it gets slower. And then it almost stops. You want to know why? He's trying to time up. When he lets the ball go, I should be almost ready to punch it.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Vladdy, if he can just get it to right there.
Ooh. We mentioned that we are 4 days away. What is it? When? No, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, 4 days away from the beginning of the playoffs. Some intriguing matchups right now if the playoffs were to begin today. And if we're getting close to the playoffs, I guess we got to get more of an update on the bubble as well, how this thing is going to develop. And it seems as if it's a go. It seems as if everybody's on board. We'll talk to Jeff Passan of ESPN about that. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Well, predictably, the vast majority of you in the text line, 590 is a text line. We got like 40 texts on this. The vast majority of you agree with me that position players should be allowed to pitch. Now, that is disturbing because several times I've said that I don't think position players should be allowed to pitch. I just did it today to go. No,
I'm a little shocked by that.
Well, I mean, you know, now here's the thing I'm going
to
point out.
Especially when everybody's in a hurry to get the games over with, and then they come to a screeching halt when somebody like that comes in the game. So it's
this.
I'm a little shocked by those texts.
This bothers me just a bit. John in Port Colborne says he's not a fan of me. That's okay. That doesn't bother me.
Get in line with that, John.
Jesus. That doesn't bother me. John, I'm not upset that you're not a fan of me.
But he agrees with you about the pitching?
Well, he says, I got to say it was real cool when Ryan Goins pitched. John, you do remember that he threw his freaking elbow out, right? Like, yeah. This is the thing about position players pitching that folks do need. It's all funny until somebody blows their elbow out.
Yeah,
pitching.
At least Kratzy's throwing knuckleballs and just flopping it in there and letting them hit it. At least he's not trying to hurt
My whole thing is, on the list of issues, you know, surrounding baseball, position players pitching, I mean, I really can't get worked up about it one way or another.
I'm not really worked up about it. I think it's the New York Yankees, and it's not a good look for me.
Let's bring Jeff Passan of ESPN on. Jeff, the one thing I did, I don't want to ask you about whether or not position players should pitch or anything like that, but I did want to ask you this because it's something that I noticed in Jay's telecast. Buck has pointed out a couple of times. You know, we've talked to other people as well. There seems to be a lot of, I'm not going to say there seems to be a lot of bad baseball going on right now. That's not right. But we are seeing, I think, aren't we, or we have seen this year,
that there really is, you know, there really is a rhythm to this game. Like, I'm beginning to understand now that there's a reason it's 162. If you know what I'm saying, because I'm seeing a lot of, you know, we've seen so many pitchers and catchers get crossed up, at least in the past 2 weeks watching the Blue Jays. I mean, we've seen two umpires basically have to be taken out of a game because of cross-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, we're a week away from the playoffs. What have you made of the baseball you've seen? You know, as a baseball fan, what have you made of it?
Jeff, don't you think guys are getting crossed up because, oh my God, I have reverb in my ears right now. So I have to, hold on 1 second. I got to change. Hold on.
Yep.
Are you still there?
Oh, I'm always here.
Okay. The reverb is gone.
Okay.
Someone magically did that. God bless. Because have you ever, you've done enough TV, Jeff. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been talking and in your earpiece you hear yourself in your ear?
Oh, yeah. It's scary.
It's the worst.
Makes me hate my voice even more than I already do.
Oh, I mean, do you remember the time that Rob Manfred was on TV and he looked like he had, like, no, I'm serious.
Yes.
Like, there were people on Twitter saying, is Rob Manfred having a stroke?
I remember that, yes.
It's because he was hearing his voice in his ear. I once did like an entire 9-minute segment like that, and it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever been. Anyway, back to ugly baseball.
Yeah.
Don't you think guys are getting crossed up because they're afraid people are stealing signs? That's where most of the cross-ups are coming from, I think. I don't think it's like bad baseball or ugly baseball. I think it's paranoid baseball. And if you want to say that that is a function of modern baseball, then I would not be inclined to disagree with you. But that's where I think the majority of cross-ups come from. It's not from sloppiness. It's not from pitchers and catchers having poor communication. I think it's from the fact that when you have, like, three signs and, you know, four different sequences, that can be confusing sometimes.
Yeah, I think, well, a lot of the pitching coaches have, you know, so many game plans that they want to go attack each and every single guy. It's just impossible always to be on the same page. That's basically what, you know, you got a pitching coach you're looking at, you got the catcher, and then you're trying to relay the message to the pitcher. What if he doesn't like that? I think it's that kind of thing. It's all the above, maybe.
And that's, you know what, guys, I'll tell you, that's the beauty and the terror of modern baseball. It's almost like we know too much now. And in that knowledge, for some guys, is extremely difficult to process in the moment. Let's imagine being out there on the mound and the difficulty there is already. You're facing the best hitters in the world, people who can take you deep in an instant. And you need to go back and remember what their tendencies are, where they like the ball, where they don't like it. You need to remember how they are on a particular count. And I know that you rely on the catcher sometimes, maybe a lot of the time for some guys, and just hope that he has the game plan in his head. But you also have to take into account how your arm's feeling that day, what pitches you have feel for and command for, what pitches you don't. Does your catcher know that? Can he sense that in the moment? Did you lose your curveball on the last pitch and now you're afraid to throw it because you don't have confidence in it? I mean, there are all of these things that, while they existed in the past, I do not think that they existed to the degree that they do now. I don't think the granularity of baseball that exists these days was there even 20 years ago, let alone 40 or 50.
Yeah, what do you think has to happen for the Jays to beat the Rays?
And that was pretty much my reaction too.
Listen, that's an unfair laugh by me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why it's an unfair laugh. Because the Toronto Blue Jays are not the only team that's good enough to beat the Tampa Bay Rays 2 out of 3 games. The Texas Rangers could do it. The Boston Red Sox could do it. The Baltimore Orioles could do it. The Kansas City Royals could do it. The Detroit Tigers, every eliminated team right now could beat the Rays 2 out of 3 because it's baseball and because baseball is a weird-ass sport. So I think the answer to your question is they need Hyun-Jin Ryu and Taijuan Walker to go out there and absolutely shove. Like, that's it. And I think both guys are capable of doing that. But, man, when you're going up against Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow in some order in back-to-back-to-back games with the bullpen that the Rays have, they're going to be a really hard team to beat.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they're playing 650 baseball this year, guys.
Yeah, from afar, what have you made from Ryu's season?
He's been awesome.
Yeah.
Like he's been everything that the Jays have asked for. And I'll cop to only having seen a couple of his starts this season, but I've gone back and looked at highlights because I have an AL Cy Young vote this year. And I don't know if he's on my ballot at this point, but I think he's probably on my ballot. I'm curious to see how the last start goes. But it's been a really, really good year so far for him. And one where when you go out and spend $80 million on a guy over 4 years, this is the type of performance that you hope for. And honestly, I think he's exceeded expectations for me.
Which team, as we get, you know, we wind down this week of the regular season, and I think we know the teams that are going to make the playoffs in the American League. The order may change a bit, but the National League in particular interests me. Who are you keeping an eye on in the National League?
The National League is so fascinating to me. We know who the top four teams are going to be. We know the Dodgers are going to be one. We don't know the Braves are going to be two, but they got a two-game advantage on the Cubs at this point with four to go. Cubs would be three and Padres would be four. The rest of it is a giant cluster F. I mean, it is a complete mess there. I don't know if St. Louis is going to be the fifth seed or out of the playoffs altogether. And it looks like they're probably going to have to go to Detroit, by the way, to play the last two games on Monday. So that only compounds what they have to do. I don't know if Miami is going to be the sixth seed or out of the playoffs altogether if the Phillies leapfrog them, because the Marlins have been struggling lately. I look at Cincinnati, and if I am the Dodgers, I am hoping like crazy that the Reds don't lose another game. Because if you have a short series, now it depends. If the Reds have to pitch Trevor Bauer on Sunday to get them in, he could come out on short rest again. He was on short rest yesterday and went eight innings and punched out 12. He could come on short rest on Sunday, or they could go with Sonny Gray, or they could go with both of them. And if you have Gray and or Bauer in game one, Luis Castillo, who's been brilliant for the last probably 3 to 4 weeks, in game two, and then Bauer or Gray in game three, if you're the Dodgers, doesn't that scare you to death? Like, that is a starting pitching, you could argue, advantage for the Reds against the number one seed. I mean, they're going to be throwing, you know, Dodgers are going to be throwing Kershaw, Buehler, and TBD. And TBD may be Dustin May, it may be Tony Gonsolin, it could be Alex Wood. Like, you don't know who it's going to be, but I don't think it matches up to what the Reds put out there. And the idea that the Dodgers, who are playing 700 ball, are going to potentially get bounced in a three-game wild card series is bonkers. But, hey, welcome to 2020.
Now, you know what? When the trade deadline passed and I was on TV here, I took a lot of grief because I said I thought the Dodgers I thought the Dodgers had to get a Lance Lynn. I just thought they had to get another arm. And one of the things I said at the time is, you know, there are matchups that don't necessarily favor them as good as they are. And I was thinking, and it was not an original thought because a lot of people in the industry had said, just keep an eye on the Reds with those three pitchers. If they can get in, they can match up against anybody. And I think I'm with you. I think that's that has the potential to be the most fascinating first-round matchup to me. It really does.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, Kenley Jansen has had some issues lately. Blake Treinen, who was incredible for the first, like, 7 or 8 weeks of the season, has stunk. You know, the Dodgers' bullpen has been maybe their greatest strength to this point. And it goes really, really deep. You know, Bruce Dark Gratterall is throwing 100-mile-per-hour sinkers, and Jake McGee has been like his peak Jake McGee self. Victor Gonzalez is a rookie. He's been fantastic. Adam Kolarik had a 0.00 ERA for most of the season. You know, Joe Kelly, Like, they have dudes back there. And depending on what their rotation looks like, I don't know if it's going to be May or Gonsol in game three. But they've got the depth, too. They just need to get past the first round. That to me, if the Dodgers win the wild card series, I think the Dodgers win the World Series.
Okay, two-part question for me. Cy Young in the National League, is it Jacob DeGrom again? And does Mike Trout win the American League MVP again?
I'll answer the last one first. I don't think there's any chance Mike Trout's going to win this
year.
And that's not because he's not deserving. I just don't think the narrative is working in his favor at this point. In past years, when Mike Trout has won the MVP, he has done so in spite of his team by absolutely running away numbers-wise. He is not head and shoulders numbers-wise better than some of his contemporaries. You look at Jose Ramirez, who I think has made a pretty spirited run over the last few weeks. His weighted on base is higher than Trout's right now. His weighted runs created is pretty similar to Trout's. You look on Trout's own team, Anthony Rendon's got 25 points higher in on base. And I know it's 100 points lower in slug, but the defense has been very good, as always, with Rendon this year. Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson. The White Sox struggles this week. I really do wonder what kind of an impact they're going to have and if Ramirez is going to sneak in and get it. And on Tuesday, I wrote a column in which I said, hey, why is no one talking about Jose Ramirez? And that night he hit a 3-run walk-off homer. So he's doing the narrative game really well. In the National League, I have absolutely no freaking idea who's going to win the Cy Young, because there are a lot of really good candidates, and DeGrom is one of them. And he's got another start left, so I'll be curious to see how that goes. Yu Darvish has been fantastic this year. Trevor Bauer, who I talked about, has the best ERA in the league and finished on a nice kick last night, punching out 12 in 8 innings. Denelson Lamet with the Padres has been fantastic this year. Max Fried is 7-0 with a 2.25 for the Braves. Like, he's been fantastic. Corbin Burnes Corbin Burnes with the Brewers hasn't been starting all year, doesn't have quite the volume in innings, but has a 1.77 ERA and I think like a 1.8 FIP. So his numbers really stack up there. There are a bunch of guys. I'm so glad I'm voting for the American League Cy Young this year, because it's the one award, guys, where nobody's going to call me a moron for my vote. Like, it is, I am voting for the one unanimous award that there's going to be, and I'm 2020's been hard enough as it is. I don't need to get stressed for being an idiot and voting for the wrong person.
Take the slam dunk.
I can't say who I'm voting for, but I think if anyone looks at the numbers and follows baseball, he or she probably knows who I'm voting for first place.
Yeah.
Second through fifth is not easy. Second through fifth, and sorry if I'm rambling here. I don't know if you guys have to go, but second through fifth is hard. Do I pick Kenta Maeda? Do I pick Lance Lynn? Where does Ryu fit in? How about Dallas Keuchel, who doesn't have quite as many innings, mm-hmm. but has an ERA? What about Gerrit Cole, who's having a quote-unquote bad year, but has a 2.84 ERA and has the second or third highest strikeout rate? Lucas Giolito, like Dylan Bundy's been really good this year. I mean, there are a lot of options for those second through fifth place, but first place, it's
pretty much
kind of locked. Yeah.
Sir, we are going to let you run. Thanks for doing this as always.
Always a pleasure, boys. Take care.
Take care. That's Jeff Passan of ESPN. Who do you think? I mean, American League Cy Young is obviously going to be Shane Bieber.
Yes.
National League is tight. I mean, as Jeff was talking, Trevor Bauer, ZRA is 1.73. His whip is 0.79.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trevor Bauer's got 100 strikeouts in 73 innings.
Yeah.
He got 100 strikeouts in 73 innings.
May have to do how his team finishes down the stretch here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I know you, I'll tell you this, we'll leave aside. I mean, wins and losses don't matter anyhow, thank God. He's got a better ERA than DeGrom. More innings pitched, 10 more innings pitched than DeGrom. Six more strikeouts than DeGrom. DeGrom's whip is 0.92. Trevor Bauer's opponent's average against is 150.
One makes the playoffs, one doesn't.
Yeah. But the National League is...
How the Mets hadn't made the don't make the playoffs with that lineup is... That's head-scratching there, boy.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Cincinnati, and this is what Jeff was talking about. Cincinnati can run out Bauer and Luis Castillo in the first two starts. You got two of the top 10 pitchers in the National League there. And remarkably absent is any Dodgers pitcher.
Kershaw's going to have to be really good.
He certainly is.
Said it, and I'll say it again.
He certainly is.
He's going to have to match him.
He absolutely is. I'm just telling you, I think the Dodgers are going down. We will take a break, come back, and go to the text line, 590-590. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, don't forget, game four of the Jays-Yankees series tonight. Hyunjin Ryu on the mound. Jays could clinch. You okay, Barker? What'd you do?
Well, I'm going to sneeze.
Uh-oh, can't sneeze. Here, just let me put the curtain between us.
Curtain. And I'll sneeze into my... elbow.
All right. I just want to make sure because
I care about you, Jeff.
No one cares about me. I don't even care about myself.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't care about myself. 590-590 is a text line. Got a lot of text. People, I guess people have an opinion on the position player.
They really like that.
I'm sorry.
I must be the only one in Canada that.
I think a lot of people are making the point, and this is a fair point, and I think it's something you've said as well. A lot of people are making the point that if you have a pitcher available, you should go. Like that, people are asking the question: what's the point of carrying 16
pitchers? And Aaron Boone that not having a pitcher that they can throw in that inning?
I think other
than Eric Kratz, come on.
No, people are agreeing with you.
Oh.
A lot of people are saying that, I guess if you've got a, well, I mean, when are you going to run out of pitching? Well, that happened in an All-Star game. Ran out of pitching.
Come on.
Here's the thing I would say. I would be willing to bet that as long as there is a three batter minimum on relief pitchers, it's going to be hard to convince teams not to use position players when they're blown out.
You can just say you're not allowed to. You don't have to convince them.
First of all, you're the New York Yankees. No, but first,
don't do that.
First of all, you would have to get it past the general manager. I don't think there's a general manager alive that would vote to hamstring. Like, this isn't something that the commissioner can just announce.
Well, it doesn't happen all the time either. You know, it's not something you're going to stomp your feet about, and it's not the first thing you're going to raise your hand about.
But I'm saying it's nobody in the game is going to be in favor of it. Like, general managers aren't going to tie the hands of their managers. The commissioners, they'd have to be collectively bargaining. It's just not an issue. Somebody said, I just got sent home for sneezing. Now I have to test it to be able to go back.
I didn't sneeze. I thought I was going to, and I did not.
Somebody wants to ask you about, I shouldn't say somebody. Please put your name to this. Where is it?
I like that people are texting in about the position player throwing. It's, you know, it's difference of opinions. Me, you know, I've known Kratzy forever. That's the, you know.
Barker
the,
is nuts. Position players pitching is very entertaining. Baseball is a quirky sport, and this is one way you can keep a blowout entertaining. Rooting for a guy to do something he usually doesn't do.
14-1 with Kratzy throwing a.
Plus, it helps make future games competitive by saving arms. It does do that.
Don't give up 14 runs. You won't have to.
Mike from Toronto. Actually, interesting question. He's wondering what we think of Jonathan Davis as a fourth outfielder.
He's got a hit.
He can play defense.
He can play all three positions.
It's not just enough to play defense.
He can run the bases.
But when I give
Randall Grich a complete day off and I put Jonathan Davis in center, I expect him to be able to maybe drive in a run. Consistently, do you think he can do that? Defensively, he's going to give you everything he's got, and he's going to catch everything he probably should catch. Doesn't have the greatest of arms. Got to hit the cutoff guy every single time. But you got to ask yourself, offensively, I used to try and be a role player. Role players have to hit a little.
Shlomo in Scarborough asked this question. It's funny because we were just talking about this with Chris Black, the one of the Blue Jay Central producers.
Yep.
Why is Vlad considered fat and we celebrate Alejandro Kirk's body?
Expectations. There is none.
There was a discussion.
No expectations with Kirk. Vladdy is expected to carry a country. That's the difference.
Yeah. But we did have this discussion about how we're chuckling and laughing and, you know, at Alejandro Kirk and his ability to maneuver that body around and yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But then we're, and I will say this, I was one of the first people, and so were you. We were both one of the first people who give Vladdy credit. We were one of the first people to give Vladdy credit for coming back in camp. Coming back to camp and playing him playing his weight down. A lot of people didn't do that. People made a big deal about him putting weight on. We were one of the first people to say, now hang on for a minute, Vladdy Jr. did end up losing some weight.
Everybody says that he's the greatest hitter we've ever seen in the minor leagues. There's a lot comes with that. When he's not at the big league level, that's why.
All right.
I mean, is there another answer?
Blue Jays clinch tonight with Ryu on the mound. Come on.
Yes.
All right. There you go. Kevin Barker, a bold prediction. The Blue Jays clinch tonight. We'll be spraying champagne around the room tomorrow, socially distancing.
Yeah.
We will. We'll have a little celly in here. We'll have a little celebration here tomorrow if the Jays win. I don't have any money to buy it. No, you're going to buy it. You're going to buy the champagne. Writer's block is next.